Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, before this internet fad, when I needed to go someplace new, I would find a map in my phone book, and I would plot my course. And I would lay the map out on my kitchen table, and I would grab a blank piece of paper, draw out my path, and I would fill it with enough detail to instill the confidence that I would make it to where I was going. And as long as I made mistakes, no mistakes in my drawing, I had great success. And then came GPS. And the apps that went along with them. So now, instead of being responsible for the entire journey, all I had to do was listen to a voice that told me what my next turn would be. And what was even better was, this voice would watch out for obstacles and would deal and reroute them dynamically, as necessary. And it was great because I no longer needed to plot my entire journey. All I needed to do was set my destination. And I knew that I would set my destination and I could trust that my electronic guide would get me there. Now, you might be tempted to tune me out because you know where this is going. Yes, yes, I know. Let the Holy Spirit be your guide. Let Him prompt and redirect you to your final destination. And that's all well and good, but that's not my point. So, keep listening. So, let's go back to the GPS for a minute. How many of you have entered in an address, had your app map it out for you, and you follow it, and you lead to somewhere else? Have you ever found a device stating you have arrived at your destination, only to look up and see that you're not even close? And this happened to me, and so I do not trust the device enough to turn my mind off. I still have that worry in the back of my mind that I will be surprised at my last turn. And it seems that today's gospel reading provides that same uncertainty for us. Jesus is asked many times, how many will be saved? But the question they're really asking him is if they will be saved. They are looking for that certainty of their final destination. And they're asking Jesus to provide it. But his reply is very unexpected. He says this, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I do not know you or know where you came from. Then you will say, but we ate and we drank with you, and you taught in our streets. And he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, you evil doers. And there will be gnashing of teeth. Now this passage is very unnerving, and it's troubling to some believers. It can keep him or her awake at night. And even worse, it can prompt him to doubt in the good news of Jesus Christ that they have come to believe in. They can begin to wonder if maybe, just maybe, there's more that ought to be done than to simply believe in him. And they might tell themselves that clearly this passage teaches that simply eating and drinking with Christ may not be enough. They might even begin to add to their foundational belief of grace alone with works. And they may work harder to please God. They might give more, serve more, smile more. Anything to contribute to the work that Jesus has already done. All because Jesus just might not be enough. And it'll be too late when they find out. And the burden of this uncertainty might continue to weigh on them. And it might become heavier and heavier with each passing day. And they may look for solace in God's word, but find that it only adds to their confusion. And as the weight of this doubt grows heavier, they may discover that they cannot carry it any longer and will cast it aside along with their belief in God and in Jesus and in the promise of salvation. And then they will be lost. Now the reality of the situation is that this person is not the only one with these doubts. Many of us have had them. Maybe all of us have had them. I know I have, and I still do at times. I question how the work of Jesus can really be enough to cover my sins. And I question if the love of Jesus can really be enough to want to cover my sins. You see, this troubled Christian isn't the only one with doubts. And I'm not the only one with doubts. And you're not the only one with doubts. Martin Luther had doubts. He had terrible ones. A historian, David Steinmetz, once wrote about this. He wrote about Luther's terror this way. He said, "God had turned his back on him once and for all," thought Luther, "abandoning him to suffer the pains of hell. Feeling alone in the universe, Luther doubted his own faith, his own mission, and the goodness of God. Doubts which, because they verged on blasphemy, drove him deeper and deeper into despair. And his prayers met a wall of indifference, of indifferent silence. And he experienced heart palpitations, crying spells and profuse sweating. He was convinced that he would die soon and go straight to hell." You see, Luther was driven deeper and deeper in despair, but instead of turning away from God, he turned towards him. He dove back into the scripture, and he focused on the sacraments of baptism and the Eucharist, and he turned to the church. He's quoted as saying this, "No one should be alone when he opposes Satan. The church and the ministry of the word were instituted for this purpose, that hands may be joined together and one may help another. And if the prayer of one doesn't help, the prayer of another will." You see, Luther clung to the word with all of his strength. And he refused to let it go, because he knew that doing so would lead him to the wrong destination. And through the word, and through the sacraments, and through the prayers of others and of himself, he found peace. And it's reflected in a sermon that he wrote on preparing to die. This is what he wrote. "Grace and mercy are there where Christ on the cross takes your sin from you. He bears it for you and it destroys it. To believe this firmly, to keep it before your eyes and not to doubt it, means to view the picture of Christ and to engrave it in yourself. In this way, you may view your sins in safety without tormenting your conscience. Here, sins are never sins. For here, they are overcome and swallowed up in Christ. He takes your death upon himself and strangles it so that it may not harm you. You see, once Luther found his way to the cross, he knew that he had found his way to heaven. He knew that on the day when he would find himself knocking at that narrow door, God would open it and warmly welcome him. He knew that there would be no surprises, and this assurance brought him the confidence and the peace that he then shared with others. And this is the same with us. During the times that we face the same terrors, the same uncertainty, today's passage reminds us to dive deeper into the Word of God, to turn towards Jesus and not flee from Him, to come together as a church in support and in worship and in prayer, and to participate in the sacrament of communion. And you see, the Holy Spirit is alive in each one of us. And He leads us to the cross, the same one that Luther's GPS led him to. And we lock our coordinates on there as well. And as we fall to our knees, we believe that our sin and our death have been placed on Jesus. And then we can confidently stand before the door and knock. And we know that we will be invited in. And there's nothing that could be more assuring, more peaceful, and more comforting than that. And I'd like to end in prayer. In the prayer, I'd like to borrow some of the words and thoughts from Martin's sermon. So let us pray. Lord, we come to you at the cross, for it is there where you meet us. We bring nothing but our fears and our uncertainty. But as we stand, we look up and gaze at you, who descended into hell for our sake and was forsaken by God as one eternally damned when you spoke the words on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And in that moment, our hell was defeated and our election was made sure. Lord, I ask you to give me the strength to cling to this picture, to keep it in the forefront of my mind always, and to believe that it was done for me. I pray that you constantly guide me. You guide me to seek you and only you for my salvation. All of this in your name we pray. Amen.